Well, we are excited today about having Brother James Nesbitt with us. And if you would stretch your hand toward him, James, if you would stand. Father, we thank you for this brother in Christ, this servant of yours, this man of God. We pray that you would bless our time together on this stage today. Lord, I ask that there would be heavenly deposits made through the words that are shared. And Lord, across this room, you know what each and every individual needs for their next step on the God journey in their life. And we're asking that this time, along with the worship that's preceded it, the prayers that have been prayed through this week, that all of that would come together in a moment of transformation for us all here today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, would you join me in welcoming our dear brother James Nesbitt to the platform? So good to have you here today, James.
Good to be here, my friend.
We love you dearly, and I know you've been a part of Grace House for a number of years now. I forget what year that you began with Grace House, but I do remember the first time you ever attended.
Yeah, you had a word for me.
Yes, I'll never forget that. I looked back there, and I did not know him, never met him, and you were on the toward the end of the row out in this section from the where we were at the old place, and when I looked, the Lord opened things up around you, and I saw this swirl of colors and light and the word creativity, and the Lord told me there was an apostolic mantle on your life. So, yeah, I shared that word with you, and like that was one of those times I think I heard from the Lord, because getting to know you since, I've just seen that from your life. And so I really appreciate you. I appreciate the gifts that you carry, but even more than all of that, I just appreciate your heart and the love that you have for the Lord and the love you have for his people.
Thank you. You know, earlier this morning at the first service, you said, you know, James is a very unique individual, you know. Now, I use that word for all my weird friends, you know. And so, and believe me, I'm like a magnet. I attract them. So, you know, I did a test a couple years ago, and after I took the test, I said, you'd think 95% different than most people. And so, if I'm talking today, you don't understand me. It's not you. It's me. There you go. So I confess I'm weird and I'm beautifully unique.
Well, brother, that's what's so powerful about your ministry. And we want to talk about that some today and some maybe a little testimony. And then before we leave here, we want to step over into some theological stuff and talk about that. So I'm excited about our time together and want to use it well. I want to put a slide up here to start with.
Yes.
This is a throwback. And he sent me a number of slides, and so I did pick and choose.
Yep.
But obviously, this was way back when?
This is 1987, and the pastor, they had a beautiful mural on the church, but it was a new day, and so he wanted to paint over it. And I really didn't want to, not at all. But yet, Father had us do that, and I started that painting up in the top, not knowing what I was going to paint, and so it turned out to be a portal. And so I would paint, and that scaffold was pretty high up, and then I would have to get back down. I would just watch and go and look, and I would paint again. And so the Lord began to give me each piece, and so he was even training me in that during painting that mural.
So is that like oil painting?
It's acrylic.
Acrylic?
Oil was always too slow for me. I couldn't wait for the paint to dry. So acrylic was my medium. I painted several large murals. That one's 8 feet high and 32 feet wide there. And Kelly and I had just gotten married the year before, and she'd wake up in the middle of the night, and I was gone. She thought I'd been raptured, you know. But I was over at the church painting that mural.
Well, you mentioned Colleen. Of course, we know Isaac. He was back here on the keyboard today. But one of the things that fascinates me about you is that obviously you're creative with your artistry and painting. And you've got another one I'm going to put up in a minute about digital stuff. And you said this was acrylic. So you've got that on your life, but also music as well. So tell us a little bit about your background musically.
Well, you know, when I was a little boy, three or four Elvis, he was, you know, Elvis. And then when the Beatles came along, the whole nation, the whole world changed when the Beatles came along. Everybody started being a band, and so I started meeting these guys, and so I became a drummer, you know, and then so my whole life like that, and the Lord, they laughed at me when I tried to sing in the band and said, you can't carry a tune in a bucket. And that's probably true. But yet, what it did is it shut me down where I didn't really sing until I was 27 because of the fear and the, whatever you're called to do, the enemy will try his best to lie you out of who you are. And see, I'm made, but what I missed out on all those years was I didn't get to really, I sang in a shower, but I didn't get to sing and hear how to move and flow and different intonations and things. So I'm not the best singer, but yet the Lord has allowed me to unlock thousands of singers because it's what I was made to do.
Now, one of your slides was about rejection. Is this what you're referring to when you're talking about that, or is this a number of events?
Any artist... and any person, really, whoever you are, you're going to experience rejection. The enemy will see to it. But it's how you handle the rejection. And if you can know this, every rejection is simply a redirection. You know what I'm saying? And there's times when you'll get rejected, but his Father's hand is even allowing that to move you to a higher place in him. So you're never rejected by him. It's always the enemy who wants to reject the glory that you carry. That's how come honor unlocks glory. And see, dishonor locks glory up. So the enemy will try to see whoever you are. You will try to dishonor you. And you know, most parents don't even know that we're the ones who can dishonor our children. And remember, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. So it's a spirit that is trying to flow somebody to speak words through a person who is supposed to be the one who encourages you and helps you to form you. I wrote a play years ago called Two Fathers. And on one side of the stage, we had a father who, he was so mean to his kid. And the other side, it was the father who blessed his child. And so the words, one builds up, one tears down. One creates a smile, the other creates a frown. You know what I mean? One builds love, one makes hate. And so all through our lives, we're running into people, and we don't know who they were crafted by. Or that's how come glory, if we can begin to ask, the Lord has blessed me with something I'm carrying very good now, well, by his grace, called through the eyes of the King. But through the eyes of the King, he's helping me to see through the eyes of the King. And so if we can begin to see each other, and today if you're here and your parents who spoke words to you that you know that they spoke them through the blood of the Son that we sang about earlier, the wonder-working power of the blood, we break those words off of you because that's not who you are. And we break every echo of the old day and sound that would whisper in your ear and tell you you're not this, you're not that, you're not good enough. We break it through the blood of the Son. And we thank you for perfect love coming into you now so that Father can form you in this season so you can be who he made you to beautifully be. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Bow your heads for a moment and close your eyes, because he was just ministering and breaking things off. I don't want that to pass some of you by. And if that's for you, just receive that right now. I'm going to ask James to step back in that. If you really battling rejection, you've been that turtle that stuck your head out and somebody popped you real hard and you've never been able to come out again, I just believe God's going to bring freedom.
Thank you, Father. Father, you said those who have been delivered are able to deliver because of your goodness and mercy and grace. So all of us in this room, in your goodness, you've delivered us from that. But there's some maybe who you're delivering them today. So we praise you that we're painting today with your brush the blood of your mercy, the blood of your goodness,
thank you, Jesus,
the blood of your promise,
thank you,
and the blood of that was in your book. You said all the days ordained for us were written in your book. So we take that paintbrush now and all the words that were said over people that were never written in their book, but tried to write new chapters for them of a cycle of depression, a cycle of a continued hurt holding them in an old day. We thank you for your blood this morning, painting that away. That is apostolic creativity.
In Jesus' name. Awesome. Amen. Thank you. You know, when you're talking, it just causes scriptures to pop off in my mind. And you're talking about honor unlocking. And I thought about Jesus and John the Baptist. John the Baptist was one of those weird guys, you know. And yet Jesus submitted himself to receive from his ministry. And John said, you should baptize me. Jesus said, no, the right thing to do is for you to baptize me. And so Jesus submitted himself to that. And when Jesus was baptized, when he came up, what happened? The heavens opened. He got a revelation from Father. You're my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, which is what you were talking about. Sometimes people can't receive from people because they're different. It doesn't mean it's not God.
So let's just go back to that moment. Right now, today, we're all in this room. Grace has met us before we got here, because this is Grace House. But Father is baptizing us. No matter where you've been, all of us, he's baptizing us afresh and anew for the new day that we've all been called to reflect his glory and his beauty of his kingdom in. So whether you know it or not, you're being baptized out of the old into the new. And so the heavens are opening today over you. And Father says, I love you. I made you. I have a dream for you. And I'm implementing my plan for you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We receive that.
Me too.
Amen. 1986,
yes.
Probably long before, well, certainly long before all the ways that are available now, God's speaking to you about digitizing your art.
Well, I saw computer art for the first time in a book, an illustrator's book, and my heart leapt. And I felt in the inside of me, this is the year that Colleen and I got married, actually before we got married when I saw this image, and he said, I want you to learn digital art. Now see, that's a whisper in my heart. Sometimes when I say the Lord speaks, sometimes it's not that he's so much you hear him, but you know. It's a knowing that comes over. That's how he works with me anyway. And so I felt prompted to do this. Now, it was till 1984 before I got a computer. So he knew that when he spoke to me in 1986, and the same with you. He's spoken words to you that you haven't totally implemented yet, but he knows when you're going to implement them. See, and for me, I couldn't afford one back at that time because Macintosh were the graphic art one. And they were really expensive, you know, and we were making associate pastor $50 a week. And so that wasn't in my budget for that, you know what I'm saying? And so, but in the time I got it, they weren't very big. My hard drive was 700 megs. That's the whole computer, the size of the whole computer, 700 megs. So, man, it was tough going, you know, trying to create real slow, and you make all these mistakes. You know, I love when the Lord kisses his mistake, don't you? It ain't what you thought it was going to be, but it's better than it would have been had you done it that way. Anyway.
Yeah. And that is the nature of the prophetic, isn't it? Often the Lord is showing you ahead of time what he has for you.
Yeah.
Now, our problem often is we expect it by tomorrow morning and don't realize, in your case, it's probably a number of years to fully develop.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing what you're able to do with your virtual digital art.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got born out of a coffee cup again. I was a rock and roll drummer, drug addict, and they put my name in a teacup to intercessors. And they were needing a drummer. They were starting a new church. And so they put my name in the cup. And they called me out of darkness into what God had for me, you know. And that pastor, he could pray the paint off a wall. And so... or prophesy the paint.
And then get you to repaint it later.
Yeah. But he, one night after a Robert Tilton meeting on Satellite way back in the day, he said, the Lord says, your artwork is going to go around the world. Man, I was wanting that to happen next week. took 25 years. Mm. I mean, so but it's a journey, you know. And anyway,
you know, that's something I had to learn when coming from a different kind of theological background, stepping into the move of the Spirit, is how I'd be in meetings and words would be given to people that you might know, and you think, man, that's nothing like what they are. But then you start realizing God loves him so much, he's encouraging them in the middle of their gigantic mess of what he has waiting on them if they'll just move toward him.
Yes.
And that, to me, that just shifted things, because then you start seeing the love of God in that. Not like the prophet's missing it. No, God's seeing something that we can't see yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a powerful thing.
I've learned this about the prophetic. Well, I'd like to tell this story. I was associate pastor, and we were at a meeting, and, you know, this old prophet, his name was Brother Goza. Old. He was 75. I was 73 now, so what the heck. Anyway, but he was going to pray for Pastor Ron. He stopped, and he said, you're going to be working with somebody. Where is he? And he said, well, he's right beside him, right beside me here. And so he came over. He didn't pray for him. He came to me, and he said, it's his church. Don't you ever take it. Now, that wasn't the prophetic word I wanted to hear that night. I went home and cried for 3 days. But the Lord will whip you ahead of time. So 10 years later, whenever the church came to me wanting me to take it.
Wow.
I done been whooped, buddy. I done been to the woodshed. Ain't no way I'm taking that church. Now, Pastor Ron and I, we're best friends to this day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's powerful.
But I've also learned that prophets, whenever they're really prophets, they'll come and they'll speak, and what they say will do something in your heart. It'll start moving in your heart. But then they start weaving a jacket that's much bigger than you are. So Chuck Pierce, he preaches 7 years down the road. So he goes up, and he sees a lot of times 7 years down the road. So if you don't understand what he's doing, you can't put it together. You know, that's what's happening. And so that's what I've learned about the prophetic. They always are speaking to you, so you begin to know that this is the Lord. But then they weave a jacket bigger than you are.
Mm. Since you mentioned Chuck, mm-hmm. This goes back to what you were just saying, that, and I've got the slide on the 50-state tour. Yeah. But obviously God connected you with Chuck, and that continues where he gets these words, and then you're able to put them in visual form. So you guys have a relationship that works back and forth that way. So speak to what this slide is talking about.
You know, the first time I met Chuck was on a Valentine's weekend. It's a spiritual warfare conference in Dallas, Texas. So I thought, well, I'll take my wife to a nice...
give just a thumbnail about who Chuck is, in case there's some folks here that don't know who we're talking about.
Chuck is this wild prophet. He's one of the most respected prophets, in my opinion, on the earth because of his accuracy. I've watched Chuck year for years. But this weekend, we went to Dallas, Texas, and the first time Peter Wagner, Dutch, and seeing all those people there, they were in this church, and they were jumping like Zulus. Colleen and I never had been in no sound like that. We'd never been in nothing like that. But my heart was drawn to that. And so later on, when the Lord talked to me, mine is the Habakkuk 2 assignment. It's to write the vision down and make it plain so the body can run with it. And it's to amplify the words of whatever the perfect word is in a church now. My job is to put sight to the sound of it so that people can see it and own it in a deeper level. That's what we do. And so what the old artists and even some like Sawyer here today, honestly he's here today, but that's a tremendous artist, and others long time ago, they would go out and capture these landscapes, the glory of God, and they would bring them into the house. What prophetic artists do, the kingdom is within us. We bring the kingdom on the inside out so people can see what's happening in the kingdom on the inside. That's the difference from prophetic artists. Now, every artist isn't called to do what I do. Just, you know, 95% are not like me. So anyway, but a few of us are called to live in that weird realm.
It seems like across the years, you know, and I know we're just getting piecemeal of a very long story that you carry, but this artistic expression through what you can do visually along with the musical that you carry, because I've been in several of your meetings, you're really like a Holy Spirit maestro, conducting an orchestra of the Lord, I mean, in the moment. And it's a very unique thing that you carry. With Chuck and Dutch, who they went around the country, that's really a part of, it seems like that you have a group of minstrels, and along with that apostolic mantle that's on your life, which part of that's the forerunner, the establishing things, planning things, clearing the land governmentally. There's a lot involved in that. I see that in your life. And then, but you also bring the visual, and it's kind of a unique mix. But that's one thing I've appreciated you, is just your diligence to give yourself to that, whether it's five or six people, and we're going to go to this state, that state, this is the thing, this is what we're to focus on. But just understanding your call and pursuing it that way. But also, I've seen you, you've been very humble and honorable in a sense, like you realize that a lot of people at large may not understand that. And like here today, you're able to articulate it in a way that helps bring more people on board. But I do appreciate that about you.
Well, we all have our journey. And I was in Washington. I used to be a prayer leader in a group called the Heartland Apostolic Prayer Network. And so they had all the leaders in Washington, D.C. in 2010. I'm standing there minding my own business. And I hear in my heart, this city needs a siege laid to it. Well, this guy standing next to me, named John Hamill, he said, this city needs a siege laid to it. You know, I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, but the Lord might be saying something here. And so when the Lord, and please hear me, in this room today, mantles are going to fall. Revelation is going to come. Light is going to come, and something will drop in your heart. Now, when something drops in your heart, whether it be today or a coming day, because we're moving into a whole other realm of depth in the earth, what you do with that, just like Mary did, said that Mary believed the angel, first of all, and then she pondered what he told her in her heart. So I pondered what the Lord told me, and then this little lady, she's a killer rabbit intercessor named Bunny Warland, she came along right beside me and said, I need to walk with you for the next season. So the Lord told me to go then to worship in Washington, D.C. for 40 days, not knowing I was about to get baptized into Tequila, is that what you call it? Is that what you say I move in, is Tequila?
Yeah, Tequila.
Well, I got baptized in some Tequila. Not tequila, Tequila. But I felt like I ate the worm. Anyway, so first of all, nobody knew me in Washington, D.C. I wasn't Lou Engle, and so they got no invitations. But I went and talked to a few pastors, and this one little lady came up, and she said, sir, I believe that you're an answer to our prayer. She said, I live in the ghetto in Anacostia, and every Friday night, I gather all the children I can gather from the neighborhood, and we worship all night long asking God to come to the city. When I heard you speak, I felt you're supposed to come and worship there. I said, well, ain't nobody else asked me to come. So I said, but I don't know how I'm going to afford to stay in Washington, D.C. for 40 days. So we slept upstairs on air mattresses and worshiped downstairs in this little Bethlehem stable. And everybody that would come with our songs, we're going to bring our best songs. I said, I don't want your songs. I don't want a lot of words either. Sing holy to me, and I'll show you what I want out of that. So I called Ray Hughes before I ever went. And you see, he's a revelator. I'm an applicator. But whenever you applicate, you begin to revelate, you know. So when I went to Washington, D.C., David Van Kuren came and Jim Joseph came, great leaders that start me off. And we worshiped, and Jamie Fitt and those guys, they all came with their songs. I said, sorry, boys, we ain't doing that this time. So we all began to worship for 40 days. I thought I sang holy every way you could sing holy. You never can sing holy the same way. Anyway, that was my journey in being baptized.
That works in heaven, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Holy,
sure.
Holy, holy.
They always sing it different every day.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Every hour. Anyway.
That's awesome. Like the lady that came to you and said, I feel like you're supposed to come where I am. You know, when Jesus sent his disciples out, he said, you look for that house of peace. In other words, you be sensitive to who opens their door to you.
Yeah.
And you stay there, which is what you did. So that's a beautiful thing to see how the Lord orchestrates us where we need to be. And it may not always be where we choose.
Yeah.
But it's where we need to be.
Oh, we had rats in the building. I mean, river rats. You know, it was a journey. But those journeys are a lifetime experiences. Can I say one thing I learned? The very first night that we sang, all the little inner city kids came and they sang the Battle Hymn of the Republic to us. And then I don't know why the Lord does it. He just does it with me. He says, I want you to ask them what their names mean. First time I ever did that. And so I asked these little inner city kids what their name was. One of them was Wood from the Royal Forest. The other was Pearl of Great Price. Wow. The other was Mighty Warrior. So all these little inner city kids, the Lord had named them. And so I began to tell them who they were. And so all of you, if you don't know what your name means, you don't know really who you are. Because when you walk into the room, see, this guy's name, it was something like Maurice, or if I forget what, but it was Wood from, so I wasn't speaking to Maurice, I was speaking to Wood from the Royal Forest. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, name, I bless your names. I bless you. Let's talk about Mary for a minute, the name Mary. You know the name Mary means bitter? And so the Lord chose a woman who had the name bitter to come to the earth through. So Mary's what they are, they're gateways to glory. And Mary's, whether you realize it or not, you'd be in Walmart or the grocery store, and somebody going to come up to you and start talking about their life story. And you don't know why they're doing it. It's because you're a gateway to glory. If you can come out of being bitter. See, but that's the snare. You've got to come out from whatever the enemy would try to use to snare you.
Wow. Causing those scriptures to go off again.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, the young maiden Mary.
If it don't, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, you already mentioned the young maiden Mary. Yeah. Be it done to me according to your word. Yeah. Because she surrendered to that word from the Lord, then a body was created for the one who created all things to inhabit in the earth.
Amen.
And that's delivered us from all our bitterness.
Yeah.
So that's really...
Now
really,
see, the same angel, Gabriel, he came to Zacharias too, wasn't it? And Zacharias didn't believe him. So Gabriel said, oh, you need to shut up for a while. Because you're not in alignment with my purpose. So the best thing that we can do is shut up and watch our words. If we're not speaking faith, whatever not a faith is, sin. Right? So anyway.
Wow.
That's all I got to say about that.
The artist, all artisans draw from. I'm assuming that's the Lord Jesus.
It is. You know, I believe that people are placed in the earth in time to release stuff. And a lot of times, like John Paul Jackson, one of the greatest things that I think he ever did was create that Names of God. He has a CD, and if you don't have it, every home should have it. It just goes 365 Names of God. And one of those names that I got the revelation from was, he said, Jesus is the artist every artisan draws from. So, and see, that's what I like to do. I love to create with the Lord. And see, we have a group called Deep Sound 7. We go to the studio, and we just ask Holy Spirit. We don't, what key are we in, Holy Spirit? And so we want to create with you. Come on, Lord, show us what you want to do. And we have the most fun doing that with my son and a couple others. Anyway.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Isaac's incredibly gifted. And then Colleen, I understand... ballet dancer. So your whole family was the Lord dipped his paintbrush on each of you. It seems like you're a very artistic family.
I married way up. And I'm not just saying that, folks. We are where we are because of Colleen's all that she is and all she carries. And, you know, the Lord had her quit ballet. And then a couple years later, we had Isaac. We got married, and it was 7 years before we had a child. We didn't think we were going to be able to have one. But we had a discussion at the dinner table. I'll never forget it. We said, you know, it might not be that God's plan for us to have a child. And if so, we're okay with that. And so she had a dream about a night or two later, maybe even that night, and she saw a vision of her standing behind a little three-year-old boy brushing his teeth. And the Lord said, you're going to have a son, maybe Isaac. And 2 weeks later, she was pregnant. So all of you, we pray for your wombs. We pray that every one of you, you're going to be fruitful according to the Lord's purpose. And any, if it's taken a while and the Lord's and the enemy is trying to lie you out of that, today we break that off. And we thank you, Father, for touching wombs today. We ask you that in this baptism that we're in, that people become pregnant physically, spiritually, in all kind of ways. Let this be a pregnant time in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Going back to Dutch and Chuck and this 50-state tour in 2003, I'm assuming that you must have provided all the artwork for each of the 50 states.
Go back to the last one, if you will. See, I was a prayer leader in Illinois, and so Chuck came in 2005, I think it was. And so after his visit, I created this art. And next time I saw him, I showed him that, and he says, man, we need these for all 50 states. So I created the art, and Isaac, who was 12, he could spell a lot better than I could at 12, he created all the words, and he proofed all the stuff. He's a tremendous proofer.
So does this mean, like, you listened to all of the teachings and
went through all the words,
transcribed it?
Yeah, the best I
picked
could.
Pick them out, yeah.
You could always tell the Holy Ghost meetings because there wasn't any notes, you know what I mean? The ones where they taught, they had a lot of notes, but the one where the Holy Ghost broke out, they had money notes for those meetings. Either that or the scribes just didn't, maybe weren't as efficient as some of them. But so the next slide, please.
A lot of time involved.
So Isaac and I did that, and Isaac sure was glad when that assignment was over. I mean, he's a 12-year-old boy. He didn't like much the prophetic side of that too much.
Did you travel to some of the 50-state tours?
They
went from state to state.
Yeah.
I forgot over what period of time.
Yeah, 2003, 2004, I think it was. No, I didn't at that time. I sure would have wished I would have hitched my wagon to that horse thing and been able to do that. You know. But I am traveling with him now because Chuck's doing it again, only you can travel with him from your home. He's going to all 50 states again, and so I'm creating another round of art. But I'm doing it by listening to them. He was doing it pretty consistently. Now he's, but he, I love the way he's doing it this time. He's waiting until the Lord prompts the next state, and so he's not doing it like I got to do one every week. He's just leading to. I love. He's at another place right now, in what he's moving in. You know, we all are really.
Yes, mm-hmm. And we're waiting on the dates that he and Chuck are going to be coming here together.
Yeah,
we're excited about that.
So
you really have. This partnership with a prophetic company out there, it seems, that to provide the art that goes along with it. So that,
well, you know what Ray said when he was here a few weeks ago, you have the revelation, then you have the application. A lot of places a speaker will come and they'll hear the revelation, but they won't apply the application. And that thing that Ray released here a few weeks ago about the Jasper walls, I'm telling you, that is such a weighty thing, and it was released to the earth from this Samuel, from this house. And I have that on my desk, and I'm trying to refer to it almost daily and let those words that were released as a part of the government of worship in the earth now. See, those words are formed. That was like wet clay to form the worship company of the new day for whoever will apply it and whoever will applicate it. But here's what the beautiful thing about application. See, 10 years ago, next month, was my first time in this city. And it was an assignment that Ray gave me. He commissioned me to go to all the seedbeds of the blues and release the sound of the redeemed sons, something he always wanted to do, but he didn't do it. So I said, well, Ray, if you'll commission me to do it, I'd like to carry that for you. So we came in here on April. There was another church that was going to host us, but we were supposed to come on Thursday, but on Monday I got a call. You know, we hear you're prophetic people. We've had a lot of trouble with prophetic people. So We can't have you at our church. Well, I had all the plane tickets bought. Everybody was coming. So we came, and we could not find a church to house us. So we rented a pavilion down at McFarland Park, and in the middle of a rainstorm, we worshiped there on a Thursday night. The next day, we went to Handy place, and we worshiped outside there. That afternoon, Mike Curtis had us booked in Fame. Now, in Fame, they're all used to recording people, about four or five of them at a time. We had 14 people. So when we came, their jaw dropped. They said, you got 2 hours. It's going to take us an hour and a half to mic all you up. And I said, well, you can just throw some overheads up. We're not here to record no record. We're here to worship the Lord in Fame. For prophesied to us new day and what's going to happen in Alabama coming in the coming day. He said, I got standards. I can't do that. And they really were taken by Chuck Thurston. He's a very unique guy. He's in heaven now. But he played a saw. And they mic'd that saw, buddy, and they had it singing like angels. And so we worshipped in there, and Colleen was sitting with them, and they looked at you and said, this is awesome. And they started getting their iPads and come down. But we prophesied to them. We prophesied the paint off of the walls of that place. Anyway, that was my first visit to Florence. So when Ray asked me to come, and see, he moved here, and he was lonely. He was asking everybody he knew to come and move. But when he spoke to me, those words didn't leave me. So my experience in Florence wasn't too good, so I didn't want to come here. But I said to Colleen, we at least got to go look and see if the Lord has something for us here. Coming here, if I was to move here, my needle was on empty. But after 3 days, I knew Father called us here. And we tried to rent a house or buy a house, and he wouldn't let nothing go through. One day I woke up, and he said, let me position you in Florence, Alabama. That's how we got here.
Glad you came. Oh. Glad he sent you.
Oh, when the Lord moves you, nothing like it when he moves you. Because you're sent.
You mentioned this a little earlier, and this is really a big deal that you are now in the process of making a movie that the Lord has inspired you to have script for, and you're right in the middle of that right now. So update us on what it's about, what it looks like.
Well, on July 22nd, 2022, a lot of twos are in there, I thought it might be good to read Psalm 22 this morning. So I was reading Psalm 22. All of a sudden, I wasn't reading Psalm 22. I was living Psalm 22. From Jesus' eyes on the cross, looking down at other people. And so the Lord, I just knew, kind of like when I knew I was supposed to learn computer art, I knew this is a movie I'm supposed to make. But there was a guy named Bob Haslett. Are you familiar with that guy? He came to the Ark a couple years before that, I think it was, and he prophesied to me all kind of stuff, and the movie was part of it when I went to look back at it. But I didn't have a place for it when he prophesied it. But now, so we're making this movie. I got a meeting now on Tuesday with our director of photography, and our producers. We're in the process. And you know, the movie's going to be about $18 million budget. Do I have that in the bank account yet? No. But is it already provided for? Yes. Because Father wouldn't have me make a movie if he didn't have the provision set for it.
Amen.
See, faith is not believing he's going to do it. It's believing he has done it. That's where we need to shift. Faith, Lord, we're thanking you. You got it. So am I under that burden of that budget? Not at all. Because I know my Father's got something he's doing. And we're doing a lot of cool. It's just the way it's moving, guys. My heart is full. And we have a prayer force. I don't know if you put that slide up or not. But I have 108 intercessors so far. Here's what we're building. This movie is a harvest machine. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed or not, but there are a lot of Christian movies out right now. So I don't know if you noticed or not, but the people who are screaming and louder the hardest, some demonic powers have been broken. And people don't know what to do because it's not like it was. It's a new day. And see, he's positioning all of us to move in this golden age of glory. See, President Trump prophesied on his inauguration, we've entered a golden age. Chuck Pierce prophesied at the same time, we've entered a golden age of glory. Mm-hmm. And so the sound here has to change. Not that it's not good, but when you move into another dimension of glory, the sound will change to reflect another depth of the glory. And that's not just in this house. That's in every house.
Can you give a snippet about what the movie's about?
Sorry. I went to preach. Right. The movie begins in the throne room. Holy, holy. And then an angel announces Lucifer has arrived. And the Lord says to him, what is this disturbance in this atmosphere? And then Lucifer in his haughtiness begins to have an exchange with the Lord. And finally the Lord says, be gone. So Lutner, you see him. And then you see at another point, I'm not going to go through what happens there, but the father's having a conversation with his son. He said, son, it's almost time to go. And Jesus says, Father, I'm ready to go. I'm pleased to go. The next thing you see is Mary in birth pangs in a manger. Same time Mary's giving birth, a lamb, a sheep, is being born. And then it goes through some things, and then you see Jesus lifted up on a cross, and you see through his eyes the crucifixion. And you see and breathe, and what? Not just what he said. You know, he said seven things on the cross. But in the conversation of his head, you hear a lot of things that went on in his head. But then, whenever he draws his last breath, that's when I ask the Lord, Lord, what did you see then? You know, because he told Pilate, I'm a king, but my kingdom's not of this world. And so what you see is you see Satan and them in hell raising their cups and raising a toast, thinking they've won the great day. But then you see an angel say, your chariot awaits my king. Because he's king. And so he goes to visit, give Satan a little bit of visit. But he's not under Satan's feet. He walks on his banqueting table where they're having this toast. And he says, You did this to me? My father who created you? Let me show you your future. He waves his hand and the table becomes a lake of fire.
Wow.
He walks up to Satan and Satan's got this little snake tongue sticking out. He grabs him by his tongue. And you. And he gives him the what for. And then he goes and visits those who died before the cross. And he says, I got a word for you. And then we see him taking the blood to the mercy seat of heaven. Mercy! Mercy! Thunders through the universe. So, something like that.
That sounds awesome.
It's going to be.
Yeah.
So buy a lot of tickets and keep going back.
We'll change gears in just a moment, but right now I just want to pause. We want to bless James today and so into this movie. We're going to do that as a church, but I'm going to give you the opportunity today too. Those of you who use your app or online, you can just use your text and just use the special offering tab, or you can write a check, put it in the offering box, this will be fine, and just put down at the bottom James Nesbitt, and we'll make sure that it goes to Prepare the Way Ministries, and we want to bless you and have seed and be a part of this movie. Just think of the number of people whose hearts can be moved toward the Lord.
See, our intercessory team, there's 108 of us right now, but it's going to grow. And if you want to be a part of that, you can go through theeyesoftheking.com, and you could register to be a part of our intercessory team.
Now, can they see that little movie clip?
Yeah.
There as well?
Yes.
Okay, awesome.
See the movie there, a little clip of it?
Would you repeat that again?
Through the eyes of the king.com. Mm-hmm. Through the eyes of the king.com. And we have a place where you can join our prayer force, or you could join a part of the people who's seeding into the movie. Because if you're going to do anything in the earth, nothing's going to happen without intercession. By the way, those of you who have prayed for me this morning, I can really feel it. And I want to thank you for that. Thank you, intercessors.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So musician, maestro, movie maker, painter, intercessor.
It's all about just trying to be obedient to what he shows you to do next, whatever that be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Okay. This is the calendar you recently released. I know that's back there, so...
The reason I put that up there, you know, it's March 30th, yes, but this is the first day of Nisan Aviv, you know what I mean? Now, Nisan Aviv is connected to the tribe of Judah and violent praise. So that means there's an anointing this month to move into a different dimension of praise. In a minute, when Eddie lets me play, I want to play with you all for a second and have some fun.
Well, let's drop by some of these quotes from Ray. I think some of these, all of them maybe, but came out of the Jasper Walls.
Yes.
Again. And do you want to read?
Yes.
Read.
My job is to magnify the word of the prophets. And this is a word of the prophet over the sound of the earth right now. Every time creativity occurs, God reveals another facet of his infinite nature. Yet, churches all over the world have opted to sink everyone to the lowest common denominator, creativity, and call it unity. That is not unity, that is sameness. Why would they want sameness? Because sameness is safe. Next slide, if we could. Theologically safe, culturally safe, financially safe. Safe preaching, safe teaching, safe atmospheres are created by safe instruments, played by safe musicians, behind safe worship leaders singing safe lyrics of safe songs, written by safe songwriters. Then there are songs in heaven that have silently waited and still wait for you. So from this house, out of Alabama, we release the power and grace. Father doesn't give words unless he's already prepared the grace for us to move in the new power of them. So to every worship leader's heart throughout the earth, we're asking for them to be caught up in the new place of grace that Father has waiting for the golden age. The golden age was the time of the tabernacle of David. So now we're in the moment when God is restoring the tabernacle of David. And he's chosen us to be a part of that restoration. So we thank you for that grace in Jesus.
Amen. Scriptures are popping again.
Yeah, I love you.
Let's step in that one, and then I want to discuss some of this with you.
Yes. Now, this happens. We're all in this. We all come in as babes, and then we grow as children, and we grow into mature sons. But believe me, even in your mature sonship, pride can put you back to ankle deep in a minute. So, you know, you might have to go back and walk some ankle deep stuff. So we humbly say this, but you know when you're a kiddie pool, there's a certain sound about it. You know, Jimmy, don't tuck our head under the water now, you know. But then when you're in the deeper pool, you still need to touch the bottom, and you need to walk and touch. And there's a line across that, because you've never gone across that place where you don't know how to swim on the deep end yet. But then sooner or later, there's a place that you walk into when you learn how to swim over your head, and you're not afraid anymore. So that place of Tequila that they talked about, it says out of all seven of the places, God responds to all the sounds, the worship, but he inhabits and governs out of one. And so that's the one when it's, see, when you're ankle deep, we can control what we want. We still have a control at knee deep. This is what we're going to do. But you get the places. Well, you're just, say, God, I'm just leaning on you. And say that's one of my, they say that's one of my grace gifts, is I listen and able to ride these. You see those waves there? There are waves that come when you're over your head and you don't know what to do, and you're just looking for the next wave. I'm just staying here until the next wave, because I don't know what to do, Lord. So you've led me here. But what will happen in these moments, he'll lead you into places where all of a sudden he has something to say. And he'll govern the earth out of the sound and the atmosphere that you've created. And that's where he governs from. You need to know this. We are living in a creative portal. Long before fame made it there, Native Americans, whoever worshipped here, I'm telling you, Spring Hill Park, it's a sacred place. They worship there a lot, I can tell just by going there. But you guys, we have been made to live in this portal of creativity that Father has brought. It's an orbit. It's another place. I think how many creative people even live here. And I got news for you. It's not just artists. If you make cookies, you're creative in your cookie making. You know what I mean? If you're a host at Walmart, you're creative. You can be creative in how you host. I have a friend. He started working for Checkers, the hamburger place. He started sweeping the parking lot. And he had started praying there was going to be the anointing on this parking lot. People want to come and like being at this place. So they liked his attitudes. They put him in Checkers and making hamburgers. And his manager was a gang leader. But this guy was, he would start encouraging everybody. And so the video guy, the manager took videos of him, sent it to the leaders, and now he's the great encourager over all of the Checkers restaurants. They bring him to the great conventions to be an encourager. So just be creative and whatever. And so I loose that on you today. All those who the enemy tried to lie and you say, I'm not creative, pull those words down. The Creator lives in us. Yahweh, Elohim, Creator lives in you. New creativity in your real estate business. New thoughts on how to do new things.
Amen.
Amen. I went to preaching again. I'm sorry.
No. That's fine. Preach away, brother. Preach away. The idea about the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, I don't think y'all are meaning that there's not the place for those.
No, not at all.
I mean, they're actually, in Ephesians 5, we're told the Holy Spirit be filled with all three. In other words, God can move powerfully through psalms. We had, we sang scripture today, the blessing of the Lord.
Yeah.
And the spirit, the hymns. I think about the hundreds of thousands of people that came through Billy Graham's crusade from Just As I Am being sung over and over and over every night. But what I'm hearing you say, and correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're hearing right.
Okay. What I'm hearing is there are times when God requires us to leave our own comfort zones in order to step into what he's created for us that fear has held us back.
Yes.
Because sometimes the ruts that we create, we've allowed, whether it's theologians or pastors or teaching, to build sideboards that keep us in a rut, and God wants to knock those out where the rut becomes a river. And so the good thing is ankle, knee, or neck deep, or over your head, it's still the river.
And it's still listening to what God wants.
See, yes.
He might, here's the dangerous song list. If we got a song list, we'll move through the song list. I was at a worship gathering, a church gathering, and Holy Spirit came on the third verse of the first song. He didn't need the other three.
Yes.
He just needed that one, you know. But the guy, he had to finish his long list, so he finished that one. Holy Spirit was gone. You know, about the last song, the Holy Spirit wanted to come again, but he had one, not the last song, second to the last. But he had one more song he had to get to. Same thing happened to me. I worshiped late for 12 years, 10 years, and this guy, he said, I want you to come to my church because you know how to flow. And so, but I had my song list, buddy. And I got to this one place, and he said, you know, the healing, the anointing to heal is here. I said, yeah, but man, I got three more songs. He said, well, you can play them, but the healing won't be here when you're done.
Yeah, I so agree with that.
And so God, yeah. He loves hymns.
Yeah.
He loves new songs. He loves all of it. So even on this thing, you know, like the spiritual songs, no, he can move in any of them.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's yes. not what I'm saying.
Yes.
I'm saying it's be sensitive to when he wants yeah. to maybe, let's just
That's
camp
what
out.
I thought. I didn't want anybody to misinterpret
yeah, yeah.
that.
And so thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
And, amen. So sometimes when you try to explain these things, it can get confusing.
That's, and I love that about this house. I love that about our worship team because it does take a certain skill level at times, particularly to move into the
yeah.
to Gila that Ray taught us about a few Sundays ago, just to be able to switch and go with it. And it's awesome to be up here and just be able to turn and say, "Can we do this?" And this they can go with it.
And I have to say this about you, how I honor you. Very few pastors that I've ever met will, if it needs to go to intercession on a Sunday morning, it'll go to intercession here. Eddie is one of the few that I let. He just wants what the Father has got and however that looks to him. He's searching for that. And I honor you for that, Eddie.
Amen. We got a bunch of folks here that want to go in over their head. You know, and of course, pastorally, I'm always, you know, running through the scriptures, but we have to have the Holy Spirit moving. I mean,
oh, he's doing it.
We need both, the Spirit and the Word. That it's not true worship if either of those are being violated.
Exactly.
according to what the Lord says. I think that's so important.
Can I tell one of the stories? Probably the most beautiful thing that happened in my life. I was at a meeting, and a young black man was there, and I was leading worship, and the Lord said, I want him to lead worship. But he was deaf. And so he had this lady with him, and I said, can you ask him if he would like to lead worship? And his eyes got about big as silver dollars, you know. So he shook his head, and so he opened his mouth, and it was like you thought it was going to sound. But everybody in the room was weeping, and the Holy Spirit just came into the room. And so, and that little boy, never in his life would he thought that he'd be asked to lead worship. So it's just one of my favorite stories I had to tell. I'm done with that now.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we call the worship team up now?
Yeah, I'm waiting
and
for this.
I'm going to go over there and be a good boy in my chair, and you guys just have fun and see what God might want to do in response just with what you carry in the room. Yeah. Everybody do this. We're going to loosen up, and we're going to roll with the flow.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Well, you know, the foundation of Scripture of all of it is, we only do what we see Jesus do.
John 5:19.
And so that's what it all comes back to. And so I've seen two things this week as I've been pondering about this gathering. And I won't keep it long. We won't do that long. But we're going to do it for a minute. And I'd like for you to put the scripture, you know, the declaration verse up for a minute. That's going to be our song. But we're going to do something with it. I want to have some fun with that. All right? And so,
stop me.
Yeah, it's the one that you guys have, the declaration scripture.
Oh, okay.
You know,
it will be. It's going to be in the announcement section down at the bottom, white letters on black about our confession.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That one not that one.
Yeah. A merry heart does good.
Oh, that's the one you want. Okay.
That's the one I want.
That one.
Now, Andrew, I need a key. If you want to sing a happy song filled with joy, what key would that be in? Yeah, you know, got some joy juice on it. What would that be? You know, you pick it out.
Something majory for happy.
Okay.
Maybe
all right. And then, now here's where I need you guys to help me out. We're going to sing this song, all right? We're going to put some legs to it. And so there's going to come a point to where I'm going to go, ha, ha, ha. That's you guys here. Practice with me now. Ha, ha, ha. You guys are the he, he, he's. He, he, he. You guys are the ho, ho, ho. And then together we're, all right, so let's do it one more time. There you go. Now, you know, before they start, I wrote this song one time. It said, the devil is my lunch meat. I said, the devil is my lunch meat, but he don't taste no good. His skin tastes like firewood, so I chew him up and I spit him out by walking in faith and not in doubt. Hey! A merry heart does good like a medicine. Now, we won't sing it quite like that today, but we'll move into something. Amen. All right, so we're going to sing. Randy, can you sing A Merry Heart Does Good Like a Medicine whenever you hear it? Now, guys, we need something rocking. Ain't no slow joy going to happen here. We need something moving, all right? Now, while we're doing this, I'll wait till after you get this. Come on. Yeah. There's healing in this sound. One more time. Ha, ha, ha. He, he, he. Ho, ho, ho. Nah, we're not going to end it with that weak little ha, ha, ha. Are you ready? Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Now, I saw one more thing this morning. While I was taking communion, I saw something. And I heard something the other day I asked Andrew to have ready. So what? Okay. So here's what I saw in communion this morning. Just begin to lay me a... You know, we saw that picture of people being ankle deep or knee deep or over our head deep. Truth is, we're all made for over our head deep. So I would like to invite, it would bless my heart so much, well, if everybody would come to the front. Remember when Ray was here, they demonstrated, was it halal, Ray, whenever we... Yeah. So what you're doing when you're coming is you're saying, you know what? I'm not satisfied with ankle deep. I was made to swim on the deep end. I was made to live in living water that's over my head. And so everybody scoot a little closer so the other people can come in. See, what you're about to experience is another sound. Because we make a certain sound when we're out like we are there. But when you get like this, oh, it's another sound. It's another sound. Move on up a little bit so more people can come. When you're baptized like this, everything about your business is going to start change. Everything about the relationships, being baptized into a new grace. We're all coming to a new place together. We're in a house of grace. Grace, grace, grace. Now you remember whenever Ray had to do this? Let's all do that because that's making a sound. Now, we're going to add to that. You know, Nisan Aviv, that word Aviv means it's a stage of place where the grain has come to a place of maturity. And so what they would do then, they would have a wave of. So what we're going to do now is we're going to present ourselves that we're a wave. We're a wave offering before the Lord. And this month we're headed for Passover in a couple weeks. And He's anointing us to worship all together in a new way. So that the back of the house is louder than the front of the house. Now this morning while I was taking communion, I saw four living creatures before the throne. You know, you have four lobes in your heart that represent those living creatures. Wisdom, Lord. We receive wisdom from the throne room.
We receive understanding, the spirit of understanding. We thank you for the counsel, Holy Spirit. You're welcome to counsel us. And release your mind among us, healing things within us. We magnify. There's all kind of knowledge, but then there's knowledge of the Holy. We receive that this morning. And the fear of the Lord. So those seven lampstands burning, that's the breath, the ruach. You have lungs in your chest that represent that ruach. And so there are 24 elders, just like you have 24 ribs that are bowing down. And what are they doing? They're casting their crown. They're saying, all we are and all you've given us, it's yours, Lord. Just for a minute, let's sing holy together.
La namora kasada daba, yela da borjala, oroko seda.
Everybody. pray, is there something you would like to release? Would you pray over us before we go then? Just hand him the mic there, Anna Laura. We up here quoting you. You might want to say something yourself. Haven't we been blessed today? Thank you, James. Brother, we love you. And let's bless him really good. You always do a great job of that. Ray, always good to have you in the house, brother. Amen. Say anything you want to, then pray.
All right. Well, thank you, Lord, for such a beautiful time of gathering around your heart today. And Lord, we just ask you now that we would leave here feeling as refreshed as if we had tasted the finest release of your glory into our lives. Lord, let us walk out breathing different today. Let us walk out walking different today. Let us be able to discern now and realize and experience the atmosphere change that you've brought to our city and to our region here, Lord. Lord, we don't take it lightly that today is a day of falling mantles. Lord, we reach up, we look up, we extend our hearts, our hands, we yada you now even, Lord. We reach up and we say, slip those mantles gracefully over our lives, and we will forever be gracious for what, how you will redefine our future now based upon a response of our hearts as we've gathered around yours. Lord, I pray that every person here will just somehow know something changed, and it was me. Something changed today. Let's all just embrace that. And let's say it together. I know something changed.
I know something changed.
And it was me.
And it was me.
For Lord, we realize we cannot be in your presence and go away unchanged. So thank you for the beauty of your presence today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. And if you need prayer, you're close to someone here who will be glad to pray for you. You just let them know. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Be blessed. Thank you for being here today. Hey, one more thing. Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus. Any storms headed this way, we just speak to them and say, lift and dissipate in Jesus' name. Amen.